friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting, where you'll learn about American history, current events, and so much more. Follow and listen to me on Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to a new episode of Phillies Today. Man, just a day after your Fightins take 2 of 3 from the New York Mets. And the Phils now have sole possession of first place in the National League East. I unfortunately was at the game on Saturday. But you know what? The games on Friday and Sunday also happened as well. Fortunately for the Philadelphia Phillies. And boy, because the game I was at on Saturday was not... I'm a baseball enjoyer. I enjoy seeing home runs, but they were from the wrong team. But plenty of offense on Friday and Sunday. Again, 10 runs in the first game and 7 in the third game. They weren't necessarily short of offense in game number 2, but I mean, games 1 and 3, boy, offense showed up and showed up in a big way as the Phillies, again, win this series and they regain first place, now a 47-31 record, a game in front of the Mets, and now own first place. So it is a good feeling for if you are a Philadelphia Phillies fan, which you are since you're listening to this pod, or I would assume so, and if you weren't, that's kind of weird. But show today, get into my series, we'll recap the series, give my series takeaways from this past past weekend against the New York Mets. Update you on Bryce Harper's injury, Aaron Nola as well. And also, The Athletic recently did their all quarter century team. And they did the full 40-man roster. And what Phillies made it, we will tell you, or I will tell you in just a little bit. And then maybe end the show with a little around MLB and this day in Phillies history. So first takeaway from the weekend, and obvious but definitely a big deal, that the Phillies take 2 of 3 and now have first place once again in the National League East. And for a while, I mean, the Phils did before the Mets did have first place for a little while there. The Phils had first place before the Mets, but now the Phils regain it. And, the Mets, unfortunately, have been dealing with some injuries lately. The big one, the Kodai Senga, and then Tyler McGill as well. As I mean, their starting rotation had been really, really, really good up until this point in the year. And, I still felt like their starting pitching and even their bullpen was going to regress a little bit, especially their starting pitching. I haven't believed, from day one that it was going to be, out the gate where they've been one of the best rotations in baseball. I never really believed it. I was expecting the offense to destroy Griffin Canning on Saturday when I went, and they didn't destroy him. I mean, They early on, they gave him, they did a little damage, but after that, I mean, Canning settled in and didn't end up doing all too much or all not all that I expected them to. And even David Peterson, who's been dating back to last year, has been good. And we all know that. But looking at the rotation, I never expected their rotation to be as good as it had been up until this point. But it has, and you give them credit. Clay Holmes, who converted to a reliever, had been really good. Phillies did not see him at all this weekend. But again, I'm not surprised the Phillies are in first place. I'm not surprised because I just didn't believe I still don't know how good the Mets actually are. I still don't feel like I know their offense is really good, and I know they have if they had a good bullpen up until this point, led by Diaz and Reed Garrett, but I still don't know I don't know. Look, man, it's a long season. It's a long season. Atlanta, 35-41, and you never know. You never know. It's a long season. You still have, you know, what? It's almost, it's still a little more than half the season left. It's a long season. We've seen it, 2019 Nationals. I mean, the way they started that year and the way they came back and eventually were able to sneak into the wild card and win the World Series, like, know how it works. Know how it works in Major League Baseball. So, but just again, taking 2 of 3 from the Mets, regaining first place is definitely a big deal for this baseball team. All right, takeaway numero dos. I mean, that play specifically from Friday night, and you know what I'm talking about. Bryson Stott, bases clearing, RBI double out to left center field, and brings home 3 runs, including JT Realmuto and Nick Castellanos. And Realmuto right behind Castellanos, and Castellanos, Realmuto's right behind him, and it really did look like a scene. Everyone's mentioning Major League. I thought it was Rookie of the Year, but either way, you know, that's the first thing I thought of, at least. And either way, it was really cool. Realmuto right behind Castellanos. They basically slide in at almost the same time at home plate. That was really awesome to see in an actual baseball game. I thought that was really, really cool. And, I mean, everyone's saying, oh, that's going to be the play that, you know, just like the Saquon hurdle, that roll, all, you know, backwards hurdle, where we're going to remember that if they win the World Series. And, like, look, if you've listened to this show, if you listen to me on the air recently, whether hosting or producing, you know, for 94 WIP, I have been very negative on the Phillies. And I especially did not want to do a show for Phillies today where I was going to be extremely negative the entire time. So I'm trying to keep this positive for this show, because I feel like I don't want to come off as just a super negative guy, but also I can't hide my feelings for how I actually feel about the baseball team right now. But let's slow down with the, oh, that's going to be the play that propels them. Let's just settle down a little bit. Not trying to rain on anybody's parade, but I've seen a good amount of that on social media where we're like, oh, the Realmuto Castellanos play, that's going to be the play that you know, we saw with the Eagles with Saquon, and it's going to be the same thing with JT and Castellanos. Like, I get it, and I hope you're right. I hope you're right. I hope you are. Genuinely, I hope you're right. But let's slow down just a tad. Let's slow down just a little bit. That's all I'm asking. That's all I'm asking. Let's just slow down. Why does it automatically, oh, this has, like, it's middle of the season. Middle of the season. You know, I mean, there were a bunch of iconic plays in postseason runs and in the regular season from the 2022 team and the 2023 team. And, well, it's more so the postseason, at least from what I can remember. And the team didn't win the World Series. And I know it's coming from a place of hope and a place of positivity, and I understand that. And again, I don't want to rain in anybody's parade. But just settle down. You know, we didn't say that with the Saquon play when it happened. Like, oh, it's going to be a play with, or at least I don't remember. We barely escaped. That was the, you know, that was right before the bye, right? Against the Jaguars. So, I mean, and I know it was a different point, different, I understand, and that was way down. I don't know why I thought that was bye, but still, either way, the point I'm making is let's just relax a little bit, just relax. It was awesome play. It was exciting. It was awesome, and it was definitely a highlight of the weekend, and it will be the highlights of the season no matter what. Like, but it'll be obviously be a bigger highlight if they do. Can get back to the World Series and possibly win it. So I get it. Not trying to ruin anybody's parade, but I get it. But let's slow down a little bit. Last takeaway. Mick Abel, so two sides of the coin as far as starting pitching staff goes. And Wheeler was, and he could have and should have won 6 innings on Friday night, but regardless, he was still good. You know, 5 shutout innings, 8 strikeouts. Wasn't perfect. Command wasn't perfect, but he was still able to limit damage as much as possible. But as far as the starters that pitched for the Fightins Saturday and Sunday, bit of opposite directions for these pitchers, right? For Mick Abel, it's, you know, the first couple of starts in his major league career could not have gone better, right? Against Pittsburgh. I mean, it was a historic first start for Mick Abel in the first start. In the second start, it was against Toronto when he gets called back up, and he was fantastic against Toronto as well. And then last three starts, Miami start was good, but two out of the last three starts against Chicago and then against the Mets, showing some chinks in the armor. And look, that's what happens. I mean, he just got called up. He just got called up to the majors, and it's not like he's been perfect, you know, in his time, down in the minors for the Phillies. So, like, it was never going to be perfect. And, you know, we get excited about, you know, certain particular guys that we're looking forward to potentially having some success here. And I get it. Totally get it. But
hey, friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting, where you'll learn about American history, current events, and so much more. Follow and listen to me on Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mick Abel kind of going in the opposite direction. And on the other end, man, Jesus Luzardo has been really... And by the way, on Saturday night, Mick Abel, I mean, four solo bombs, and not great for Mick, but growing pains, obviously, for Mick Abel. On the other end, Jesus Luzardo, who looks like the pitch tipping that was the issue for Jesus, and he pretty much fixed it, at least so it seems. Two out of his last three starts, he's looked like the dominant Jesus Luzardo. Against Chicago, he had, 10 strikeouts and, six innings of only allowing one run. Against Miami, not as stellar, but was still okay. It wasn't as bad as he was against Milwaukee. And then against Toronto as well. And then comes back against the Mets last night, and he was fantastic. Exits to a standing ovation from the crowd, and was really good last night, and ended the night almost going seven innings, seven strikeouts, and was fantastic. They didn't need him to be that good, but obviously for this rotation, we've been talking about Luzardo being a part of, you know, the four guys come playoff time for the starting rotation. And it looks like Lizardo's trending in that direction, going back to, okay, we know we can trust this guy. And it was just a pitch tipping thing that he has now fixed. And so it seems, as he gets the bigger glove and the hand positioning, all that. So good to see from Luzardo over the weekend on Sunday. Really needed him to regain our trust a little bit, because I was like, okay, it was only a couple of starts, but it's good to see Jesus do what he did against the Mets on Sunday night. Okay, injuries and transactions to know about. Bryce Harper, he did speak to the ESPN Sunday Night Baseball broadcast, and it was kind of, given kind of a general update on where he is right now. But according to Phillies.com, still expected a return is to be determined. Status, he's progressed to hitting soft toss, expected to hit in the cage either tomorrow before the series against the Astros or the day after on Wednesday in Houston. So that's an update for you on Bryce. Nola, Aaron Nola, the ankle sprain's behind him, but it's stress fracture in the right rib is the issue right now. Expected to return sometime in August. He played catch in the cages a couple of days ago and yesterday as well. If he responds well, he could begin throwing progression on field the week, this week, this coming week. So that's an update for you on Knowles. Transactions, Alan Rangel, he was recalled from AAA Lehigh Valley. And then Michael Mercado was optioned to AAA Lehigh Valley as he got lit up when I saw him on Saturday night. So, okay, that's in the injuries and transactions portion. Thank you to Phillies.com for the info and updates. Okay, the Athletic put out an MLB all-quarter century team. And they initially did one, and I think they only put out the starters. And, you know, I feel like a lot of people are doing this, whether it's hockey, basketball, baseball, they're all doing their, like, all-quarter century teams. Like, for whatever outlets, yeah, all these outlets are doing their things as far as quarter. I love it. It's fun. And I enjoy looking back on players in the last 25. I mean, I'm 30 years old, so these are all players I'm pretty much growing up with for the most part, unless it's within, you know, the last five-ish years, which I don't think I'd consider players I grew up with in my 20s. That's a little different than when you're like a kid or a teenager. But so the starters were picked by the fans and people that voted. The rest of the team was voted on by Jason Stark and Tyler Kepner. The Phillies that made the team, Chase Utley made it as backup second baseman. Jose Altuve, starting second baseman. Not particularly mad at that. Could see the argument for both. Matt Stairs, the pinch hitter, who I believe had 19 pinch hit home runs in the 2000s. Yeah, he had 19 pinch homers in the 2000s, and that's five more than any other pinch hitter of the era. And of course, we all remember one that was ripped into the night in the 2008 NLCS. And of course, we'll remember that forever. Roy Halladay and Pedro Martinez, obviously Doc, more iconic Phillies pitcher, even though he'll be remembered as a Blue Jay, of course. I think we can all agree on that, as much as we love Doc here in Philly. Roy Halladay was one of the starting pitchers named. And then Pedro Martinez, who was only here for literally half a season, was mentioned, or not was mentioned, was also a part of the starting pitching staff, and obviously going back to his days with the Red Sox and a little bit with the Mets, and as contributing to being a part of the starting rotation. And then a couple of more, maybe not guys you'll love. One guy, I don't know, maybe growing up for me, just a different thing. Two closers that were a part of the closers portion. And I guess they didn't have a bullpen. It was just all closers. So one was Billy Wagner, and Wagner was only here for a couple of years. And look, I loved Wagner. Watching Wagner grow up, I loved, first game I ever went to at the bank, I loved watching the radar gun to see how, if he was going to hit triple digits every single time. You don't even do that. I know I'm going off on a tangent here for a second, but you don't even, man, I kind of miss that. When I was a kid, you look forward to watching guys like Wagner, any other guys that could reach 100, even Rob Nen back in the day for San Fran and for Miami, or Florida back then. I mean, you look forward to watching those guys and seeing if they could light it up at 100. But the first CBP game I ever went to, and I'm going off on a tangent story here, but first game I ever went to at the bank, 2004, it was like April of 04, and it was against the D-backs, and Wagner comes in the ninth. He ended up getting the save, and I just remember as like an 8 or 9 year old watching the radar gun, or you know, wherever they had the radar gun up in the stadium where you can see where they hit it. And just watching him, I remember him hitting 101, and I was just like, oh my gosh, this is so awesome. Like, hit 101, mommy, hit 101. But really cool. But Wagner was named one of the closers. Definitely Wagner's a Hall of Famer now. Definitely deserves to be on a quarter century team. And then Craig Kimbrell, who unfortunately didn't end well in Philly, but has a potentially a Hall of Fame career, and definitely one of the better closers of the last 25 years. Look what he did with Atlanta, what he did with Boston. Yeah, he's one of the better closers of the last quarter century. So Wagner and Kimbrell, the closers. So it was Utley, backup second baseman, Matt Stairs, pinch hitter, Roy Halladay, starting pitcher, Pedro Martinez, starting pitcher, Billy Wagner, closer, and Craig Kimbrell, closer. Okay, have a little bit this day in Philly's history. I went longer on some of the stuff that I thought I would. So I'm only going to mention one. And of course, it's the iconic Rick Wise game. So it was on this day, 1971, which is how many years ago is that? 31 would be 60 years. So it's been 54 years, right? 54 years. Am I doing math right? I don't know. My math kind of sucks sometimes. I don't know. I got like a 98 in pre and think it was calc in college, but who cares about that? But either way, you get it. This day in 1971, Rick Wise pitched a no-hitter against the Reds and hit two homers. He's the only pitcher to accomplish both feats in a single game. He allowed one walk to Dave Concepcion in the sixth. Pete Rose made the last out. It's pretty awesome. I mean, it can't get much more baseball than that. That's one of the all-time, I think, sports feats ever. I mean, come on, man. Like, individual feats, throwing a no-hitter, but also hitting two home runs. Like, that's all-time sports feats. I'm sorry. That's pretty awesome, though. But there's actually a bunch of other stuff in this day in Philly's history, but I fortunately can't get to here because we got to wrap up the show now. But Phils win 2 of 3 against the Mets. Big series. I want to know your thoughts from this series. How are you feeling about this team? Are you back in? Are you still out? What did this series do for you? I'm looking forward to the next three versus the Houston Astros. And the series starts tomorrow night, 8:10. And it'll be Wednesday, 8:10 again. And then Thursday, the last game will be at 2:10 Eastern time before they head out to Atlanta. So heading out to Houston starting tomorrow and then Atlanta to end the week. Okay. You can follow me on Twitter and let me know your thoughts on the Phils right now at @Rojas_media_. That'll do it for me. I'll talk to you guys soon, and stay tuned for everyone else that does a fantastic job on the channel.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.